The White House wants banks to give some back.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama is considering reaching into the big banks and taking back some of the money taxpayers spent bailing them out. An administration official says the White House is considering some kind of levy on the financial industry, but what and why? And what are the risks? I'm joined by Washington Post Capitol Bureau Chief Mike Scheer. He's with us live. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. What is the White House considering?
Well, basically what the White House is considering when they present their budget to the Congress on February 2nd will be some kind of a fee on banks. And the idea here is kind of still in flux. They don't know whether it will be some kind of fee on the transactions that individuals do at banks and other financial institutions, or some kind of other mechanism that they could use to as you said in the opening, yank back some of the money that the federal government gave to the banks.
Yeah, make a withdrawal. But Mike, what's the motivation here? I mean, is this about punishing banks or changing their behavior or cutting the deficit or scoring political points? What?
Well, all of those, but really, the main two are one, to get the money back that the government bailed out, to get as much of that money back as they can, as a way of sending a message politically to the folks that are out there in the country who are really angry, you know, really angry at the banks and really angry at the amount of these bonuses. This is bonus week for the banks. You're going to hear tens of billions of dollars going to bank executives. That doesn't look good, and the administration wants to get at that. The other motivation is the deficit, which, of course, the president is under great pressure to try to reduce, and this could be at least a small way of getting that down.
Wall Street and some analysts have warned against actions like this. What is the worst-case scenario? What's the risk of fees like this?
Well, it depends who you believe. There's two real risks. The bank industry will tell you that the risk is that it stops the recovery in its tracks, that the banks seize up, that they won't lend the money, exactly the opposite of what the administration's been trying to do all year. The other risk, though, even if that doesn't happen, is that the banks simply pass on the fees to the people, and so that what the administration ends up doing, instead of hitting the big banks and the big Wall Street financial institutions, is they, in essence, pass on a new tax, a new fee to the sort of regular Main Street folks that they're trying to help in the first place. So those are really the risks, and the administration is trying to figure out a way to structure it so that latter piece doesn't happen.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense now. Mike Scheer of The Washington Post, we appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much.
In other news, it's not just investment banks raking in profits. The Federal Reserve reported today it made a record profit in 2009. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
The Fed brought in about $46 billion last year, money that goes straight to the U.S. Treasury. It's the biggest annual profit in the central bank's near 100-year history. And the reason for it is simple. The Fed aggressively bought up government debt and mortgage securities as a way to inject cash back into the economy. And now the interest income from those investments is paying off in spades. But Mesirow Financial chief economist Diane Swonk says those high returns don't come without giving something up.
What the Fed has done is essentially moved out into the market and played a role much like a private investor, taking up a place that private investors disappeared from. In doing that, they also took on more risks than they did in the past.
Risks that could come to roost if, for example, the Fed was forced to sell some of those assets at a price below what they paid. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
America's trade deficit widened in November more than expected. Stronger consumer and manufacturer demand pushed imports to the highest level in almost a year. Exports didn't rise by as much, but there were some gains in exports of food and beverages, autos and capital goods. Analyst Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company says for the export gains, you can thank the weak dollar.
We're very competitive worldwide for consumer products now, and especially on the manufacturing side. That's going to be the side that brings us out of the recession, manufacturing, not housing.
Now, let's do the numbers. S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are down around 0.75% and more. The Dow is off 38 points this morning at 10,625. This is after aluminum producer Alcoa came in with some disappointing quarterly earnings last night. European markets lost about 1% today. Asian stocks were mixed. China is taking new steps to control bank lending. Beijing has ordered institutions to set aside more reserves to avert a surge in credit that some people worry might fuel inflation or asset price bubbles.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
For only the second time in history, TV ads for the Super Bowl have dropped in price. Here's Marketplace's senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
There's a touch of irony in this commercial from last year's Super Bowl.
Come on, people. We got to focus. We're not leaving until we've met our budget. We need ideas.
We could cut back on marketing.
It turns out a guy who suggests not buying beer for staff meetings gets thrown out the window, but it's the one who talked about cutting back on marketing that ad agencies and networks undoubtedly would prefer to get the heave-ho. Advertising is among the first things to go when consumers are less likely to buy, so why would any company still spend up to $2.8 million for just 30 seconds of our attention? Professor Jim Albright teaches advertising at the University of North Texas.
The smart ones always say that during the bad times, the pie gets smaller. So you should spend more money on advertising to get a bigger piece of shrinking pie.
Albright says that's why it's actually a good time to be buying a spot on the Super Bowl. He remembers it wasn't always such an image builder back when he was a national ad man writing Super Bowl commercials for Frito-Lay.
It didn't seem the matter of pride that it is now. It just was another buy to me at the time.
But now he says it makes good sense to be buying into the big leagues, especially with all the free publicity the ads get every year. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, here's Conan O'Brien last night after learning NBC's pushing him out of his time slot to make way for Jay Leno.
Everybody now wants to know what my plans are. Everyone's asking me. All I can say is I plan to continue putting on a great show night after night while stealing as many office supplies as humanly possible.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.